الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith and Focus. I am your host or instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. I'm going to go right into our lesson for today because we have a lot to cover on the topic of sins and seeking repentance. One of the definitions of sins, and sort of in a broad sense, if you will, refers to actions, thoughts, or omissions that are considered wrong and immoral by a moral, religious, or legal standard. They are violations of laws, rules, or conducts, or codes of conduct, and can be viewed as a transgressions or transgressions against divine, human, or what we would call personal principles. Some of the examples of a sin or sins, you're talking about murder, you're talking about theft, you're talking about lying, you're talking about adultery, fornication, and a lot of other things that many of us are already aware that is a sin. Some people may even think that a thought, such as hate, or envy, or pride, or lust, for example, are forms of sins. And so I just want to just mention a few, and you all probably have in your mind on various types of sins. Now let's look at what Islam says regarding sins. First, of course, we go to the Quran, and each person should have a copy of the Quran next to them, because that's the only text that is required for this class. And or you can go to online and go to, or on your phone, you go to our tablet or whatever you use, screen that you use. You go to Quran.com. That is Quran. That's Quran.com. And that's you a Quran for free. Or visit a neighborhood Masjid, M-A-S-J-I-D, a place of worship for the Muslims, and maybe the imam or the leadership there will give you one and tell them you're in my class and give you one to follow along in the class or read along with me. I'm going to do a rough translation of a verse in Quran, which is chapter 29, verse 40. Again, chapter 29, verse 40. And so hopefully you all are turned to that page where Allah talks about many ways where he sees people that committed sins or wrong against themselves and against what Allah instructed them to do. And it says in this particular, I'll read it in the English. And it says, so we seize each people for their sin. Against some of them, we sent a storm of stones. And you are familiar with that, Lut's people on Sodom and Gomorrah, that he sent the stones down to them. Or some people may call them brimstones. Also, some were overtaken by a mighty blast. Some we caused the earth to swallow, and some we drowned. And we know Pharaoh and his people were drowned when they followed Musa and his people across the water, and Allah split the sea for Musa and his people to get to from one side to another, escaping Pharaoh and his followers. But when his followers tried to follow that same path, Allah made the walls of water fall upon them. But you can read that in the Quran on your own. To continue, Allah would not have wronged them, but it was they who wronged themselves. And so they committed all kinds of sins, and so Allah heaped upon them different forms of punishment. And I mentioned the various punishments that Allah bestowed upon these people that wronged themselves. And let's go further on to say it was narrated by Anas ibn Malik, or son of Malik, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He mentioned the greatest sins, or he was asked about the greatest sins. He said, "Partners, to join partners in worship with Allah, to kill a soul which Allah has forbidden to kill, and to be undutiful or unkind to one's parents." These are some of the things that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessed be upon him, that he mentioned. Also, he mentioned about false witness is another form of sin. So he's talking about to be unkind to one's parents, or undutiful to one's parents, and to set up partners with Allah, and to kill a soul which Allah is forbidding one to kill. And so I just want to mention a few sins from Islamic perspective, and there's a lot more, and you can read about it in the Quran, or just visit your neighborhood Muslim place of worship and ask the leadership there about various forms of sins, or how Islam sees what various forms of sins to be. And also mentioned by a companion of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, a man asked Ibn Umar, meaning the son of Umar, what do you hear Allah's a messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, saying? And then he said, regarding secret talks between Allah and his believers, and those who believe on the day of judgment. And so he said, and he mentioned this about the secret talk. And he said, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, he's one of you will come close to his Lord till he will shield him in his screens, and say, did you commit such and such such sin? He will say, yes. Then Allah will say, did you commit such and such sin? He will say, yes. So Allah will make him confess all his sins, and he will say, I screen them, meaning your sins, for you in the world, and today I forgave you them. I forgive them for you. So there are sins that Allah screen for you, or from the people in this world that you committed. And also Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. And on this day, he can also screen us from sins that we commit. And so I just wanted to mention this to you all. I want to give you both sides. I want to give you repentance side. I want to give you the sin side. I want to give also that Allah is merciful. He is most merciful and forgiving. He doesn't, because we commit a sin, that Allah is going to strike us down, if you will. But Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. So let me move on, my beautiful students, about what else does Allah say. And so he mentioned about, and this is a very important, is that it was mentioned by the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, say, if anyone calls others to follow right guidance, his rewards will be equivalent to those who follow him in righteousness, without their reward being diminished in any respect. And if anyone invites others to follow error, meaning sin, will be equivalent to that of the people who follow him in sinfulness, without their sins being diminished in any respect. And so, if you lead people towards good, then you get the rewards of that. And if you lead people towards bad and sinfulness, then of course you get this sinfulness without whatever the value of that sinfulness is, without their sins being diminished in any respect. I mean, the people who commit those sins are following you. And so let's be careful on what we do, what we say, and that we don't misguide the people. Are we going to pay now? Are we going to pay later? And it was mentioned, this is a very, very beautiful saying from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he mentioned about the first person that entered paradise. And it was mentioned, I surely know the first person who, Prophet Muhammad, he said this, I surely know the first person who will enter the garden of paradise, and the last man who will emerge from the fire of hell. The man will be brought forth on the day of resurrection, and the command will be given. Show him his minor sins, and let his major sins be hidden from him. He will therefore be told, on such and such a day, you committed such and such, and on such and such sins, and such and such sins. He will acknowledge his sins, and not disavow them, and he will be fearful of those sins that are major offenses. So the command will be given, in place of every bad deed you committed, grant him a good deed. And he will therefore say, I am guilty of sins that I did not see. Or see here. And so, he admit those sins that he did, and those sins that he didn't did, those sins that are mentioned, and those sins that are different, are not mentioned. He said, look, I am also guilty of sins that I did not see here. I committed those sins. And Allah, most merciful, could forgive him if he chooses to do so. And so it was also mentioned, my beautiful students, is that Allah warns us, and he says this to us, he is just so merciful to us. It was narrated by Abu Huraira, which is one of the Prophet's companions, and he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah saying, all the sins of my followers will be forgiven except for those of the mujahireen, meaning those who commit a sin openly or discloses their sins to people. An example of such disclosure is that a person commits a sin at the night, and though Allah screens it from the public, He comes in the morning and says, oh, so-and-so, I did such and such evil deed yesterday. Though he spent his night screened by his Lord, none knowing about his sins, and in the morning he removes Allah's screen from himself. The man does something, or the woman does something at night, a sin at night, and Allah covers it. And then he brags about it in the day to the people. And so this is not a good thing for us to do as human beings. Allah removed it, covered it, and then you revealed it to the people, bragged about it, or some kind of way you revealed it to the people. No, Allah cover it. Leave it there. Don't keep going on and on regarding it. And so it was also mentioned by my beautiful students is that it was mentioned that if anyone commits a sin and has inflicted on him a sin and has inflicted on him the prescribed punishment for that sin, it is an atonement for him. So I want us to keep in mind, my beautiful students, is that you commit a sin. For example, in Islam, a person committed a particular sin, say he's stoned or he's whipped, he or she is whipped or stoned, then okay, that's it. They receive their punishment. And so that means that it is an atonement for them. So I'm going to give you all aspects of sins and repentance. And of course, if a person receives the punishment, because in Islam you have different things. If a person commits a particular sin, they receive or take a particular punishment for the sin that they committed. And that's their form of atonement. That's it. And no more is to be said about it. They have to worry about it anymore. But the thing I want to emphasize is that you don't commit the same thing again. They have to go through the same punishment or seek refuge in the law from that sin that you committed, or forgiveness from Allah for the sin that you committed. Islam is simple. It's very, very easy. Is that we don't confess what we did to an individual. We confess to Allah. Allah is well aware of it. And we ask forgiveness from Allah and not from an individual that's going to say, okay, you forgiven, do this or do that. And then basically don't worry about it anymore. A person has to worry about it because they have to face their Lord, because their Lord put the screen around them and asked them, did you do such and such, such and such day? And a person will say yes, or they don't have to say anything. Allah already knows it. Allah may make your body part speak for or against you. And then Allah makes the decision if he's going to forgive you or not forgive you. Now let's look at some ways in which a person can repent for the sins that they committed. Which a lot of this I already mentioned before, but I just want to emphasize it again. And it was narrated by Anas that the Messenger of Allah and peace be upon him, he said, every son of Adam commits a sin, meaning all of us. And the best of those who commit sin are those who repent. The best of the sinners is just so beautiful. The best of the sinners are those who commit sin and those who commit sins and they repent. The best of those who commit sin are those who repent. This is such a beautiful thing. You committed the sin, okay, then you repent for it. Ask Allah's forgiveness for the sin that you committed. So I want to read something else, something very beautiful. And that is, when a believer commits sins, a black spot appears on their heart. If he repents and gives up that sin and seeks forgiveness, his heart will be polished, will be purified, if you will. But if the sin increases, the black spot increases. That is a ran, R-A-R-A-N, that Allah mentions in his book. And this is from Chapter 83, verse 14. Again, chapter 83, verse 14, you find in the Quran, it says, nay, but on their hearts it is the ran, meaning a covering of sins and evil deeds, which they used to earn. Something else very simple is that one who repents from sin is like someone without sin. It's just a simple thing. One who repents from sin is like someone without sin. I don't have to go into explanation pertaining to that because it speaks for itself. Let's move on for this particular topic I'm talking about today and regarding what we talk about in terms of those who commit sins and, of course, repent. And that is, it is mentioned, if you were to commit sin until your sins reach the heaven, then you were to repent, your repentance will be accepted. So in other words, my beautiful students, it doesn't matter how large or how high your sins are, Allah will forgive you. Ask Allah to forgive you for the sins you committed, and then Allah will forgive you or may forgive you. That's up to Allah. Yes, maybe you committed a sin last night or before you came to class today. Ask for forgiveness from Allah. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Repentance. Don't do it again. Don't repeat it again. Don't do anything. Go even near to that sin again. And I please, my students, do this before you die, because all that goes with you. All the bad deeds go with you into the grave, and then on the day of judgment, you have to answer for it. Going to the grave with the good deeds, and that your companion in the grave will be a beautiful, handsome individual, your good deeds. Not an ugly individual, which are your bad deeds. And if you turn your Quran to chapter 11, verse 114, that chapter 11, 114 is the verse, and it just simply says, "Innal hasanati yudhibnal nasiati," and so it says, "Surely good deeds wipe out evil deeds." It's just a simple thing, a simple formula for us to follow. Is that doing a good deed wipes away or erase a bad deed? You do a sin, you want to get rid of it, wipe it away, then do a good deed. It's as simple as that. And for those of you who are Muslims in my class, you can also, there's also a way in which we can get rid of good deeds by simply preparing ourselves for the prayer. Maybe making an ablution, because before a Muslim pray, they have to wash themselves, wash their hands and their mouth and their face and their ears and their hair and their arms and their feet. There are different things that we have to do in preparing ourselves, which we have to do and to make the prayer. And so we get blessings for that, or we wash away sins when we make our wudu. Wudu is W-U-D-U. And so it was mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, when a person performs ablution, or wudu, washes his hands, his sins exit through his hands. When he washes his face, his sins exit through his face. When he washes his forearms and wipes his head, his sins exit through his forearms and head. And when he washes his feet, his sins exit through his feet. I don't even have to go into explanation pertaining to that, my beautiful students, because it certainly speaks for itself. So let's move on. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one, since that one already self-explanatory. It is also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, when he said, whoever calls to guidance, he receives a reward similar to the reward of whoever follows him. without any diminishing of anything from their rewards. And whoever calls to misguidance, then he receives of sin similar to the sins of those who follow him, without that diminishing anything from their sins. So this is what I read similarly to you all, pertaining to encouraging people to do good and keep and encouraging them to stay away from evil. So let the different dua or supplications that one can make, for example, is that it was narrated by Aisha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. She said, and the Prophet said, "O Allah, I seek refuge with you from laziness, from geriatric meaning old age, from being in debt, from committing sins. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the fire and the affliction of the grave, the punishment of the grave, and the evil of affliction of poverty, and from the evil of the affliction of the Dajjal, which is a sort of a beast, but I won't get into that right now." It said, "O Allah, wash away my sins with the water of snow and hail, and cleanse my heart from the sins as the white garment is cleansed of filth. And let there be far away distance between me and my sins, and you have set far away the east from the west from each other." So this is one type of dua, a supplication that we can make, asking Allah for forgiveness from any type of a punishment that may be in store for us because of some of the wrong that we have done. And I want to read one other to you, and that is this particular dua or supplication, and that is, it says that Prophet Muhammad, he says, a slave commits a sin and he says, "O Allah, forgive my sins." And Allah says, "My slave committed a sin," and then he realized that he has a Rabb, meaning a Lord, who forgives the sins and punishment for the sin. He then again committed a sin and said, "My Lord, forgive my sin." And Allah said, "My slave committed a sin, then realized that he has a Rabb, a Lord, who forgives his sin and punishes for sin. He again commits a sin and said, My Rabb, forgive my sin." And Allah said, "My slave has committed a sin, then realized that he has a Rabb, a Lord, who forgives sin or takes him to account for sin. I have granted forgiveness to my slave. Let him do what he likes." So this particular one, he commits a sin one time, Allah forgives, two times Allah forgive, three times Allah forgive, and Allah ends with, "Look, I have forgiven him what he's done." And so Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. I have granted forgiveness to my slave. And so, fear not, my beautiful students, stay away from sins, seek repentance from Allah for the sins that you committed. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.